Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the program. We've made it through the week. We're headed into the weekend and glad to have you with us as we round things out before we head into the weekend. And I want to remind you, as we get into the weekend here at the Big X, we have high school football coverage tonight beginning at 6 p.m. Our kickoff show tonight coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Josh Cook of the News and Tribune will join me. We'll preview all the area games. We'll go through game by game what the final week of the regular season in high school football looks like. And also tonight, Jeremy Gettelfinger of Providence, running back, senior for the Pioneers, he will join us as well. And we'll get you all set for the big games on Friday night. Of course, that Providence hosting Linton-Stockton game, that's one of our feature games on the Big X tonight. We'll also have some coverage from Charlestown as they host Eastern Pekin as well. The Pirates looking for a win, really all the area teams, a win in the final week of the regular season is a good thing to send you into the postseason with a little confidence and a little momentum. And it's hard to believe that a week from tonight, for all the local teams except the 5A teams, which would be New Albany, Floyd Central, and Jeffersonville, who all compete in the same sectional, will be playing postseason football here in Southern Indiana. So fun times ahead, headed into the fall. The weather, again, is a little more crispy today, so I think we'll have some pretty good fall weather tonight for high school football, and just amazing to me that we've made it with everything going on to the final week of the regular season. We hope for continued successes of health, really, to be quite honest with you, as we move forward into the postseason for all of our local teams. And look forward to a fun night to wrap up the regular season. Don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock, the kickoff show I told you about. Then we start our play-by-play coverage in the 7 o'clock hour. We go back and forth between some of the big games. I'll be in studio hosting, have constant scoreboard updates. We have call-in reports from some of the other games that we're not at, so you can get kind of a full feel for what's going on in the area. And then when it's all done, we have the McAllister's Deli Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show. So winning coaches from the area come on. We'll have some other guests with us as well. It's kind of the perfect way to recap week 9 of high school football. We'll not only recap what happens tonight, but really recap the regular season for each of our local teams here in Clark and Floyd County, and even start to think ahead and talk about the upcoming sectional action, which will begin a couple weeks from now. So join us tonight, whether you're going to a game, not going to a game. If you're going, take your earbuds. You can tune in really everything going on in the area. And if you can't make it out tonight, you got another commitment, keep us on in your car or take your earbuds with you. You can keep up with everything going on with Clark and Floyd County football and beyond as well. It's Southern Indiana Football Fridays here on the Big X. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And we got a number of things we'll get to, and I'll tease this one. Yesterday evening, kind of late in the evening, we got an email from Indiana, and Indiana has named their captains for this year. You may have seen it, but we'll tell you more about that. A vote by the team, and there have been some co-captains for this 2020-21 season, and we'll talk about that in our headlines today. Later in the show, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, he will join the program. The latest on IU basketball as we come out of a busy week. It's kind of starting to feel, even though we don't know the schedule, even though we don't know what the Big Ten Conference is going to look like as far as how it's going to be played, where it's going to be played, is it going to be played at colleges, will there be fans in the stands, it does feel a little bit more like college basketball season is getting ready to happen because this week we had IU Media Day, and that's kind of dominated the discussion on this program the last few days. We'll continue to talk about some of the takeaways and storylines from IU Media Day with Dylan Wallace when he joins us in segment two. Then our final segment today on this Friday program, as normal, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join, and we'll talk a little high school football, the final week of the regular season. We'll talk a little bit about some of the fall sports state tournaments that are ongoing, and we'll talk some basketball as well with Kyle when he joins us later in the show today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Don't forget, send in your questions, your comments for the show, and they might get read on the air. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also send the show an email. The address is real simple, HoosierReport@gmail.com. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. Got an email. Most of you have seen this. IU has voted in captains for this year. Seniors Joey Brunk and Al Durham, as well as juniors Rob Fennessy and Race Thompson, in a vote by their teammates, have been named captains for this upcoming Indiana basketball team. So you've got two seniors, you've got two juniors, and really all four of those guys are pretty experienced Hoosiers. I know Race Thompson's had some injuries, and maybe you could argue that I think you could definitely say he's a breakout player. Him and Jerome Hunter, to me, I think have the best opportunity to be real breakout players for the team this year. But you could argue that we haven't seen Race as much as probably we would have liked because of some injuries and just playing behind other people. But those four, in a vote from their teammates, the captains for this year. And really, I think people can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think every year since Archie Miller's been there, it's been something where there have been multiple, sometime more than two captains. It's not just like the senior, or you know, the top senior gets voted to be the captain, but Joey Brunk, Al Durham, Rob Fennessy, Race Thompson, captains for this IU basketball team for this upcoming season. Also, we've been tracking the NCAA. A lot of big decisions have been made. Lots of votes this week in that Division I council meeting. That's where some big things about the upcoming college basketball season were decided upon. And, of course, even more than that, you've got the additional year of eligibility for winter sports athletes has been approved, as we've discussed some this week. One other thing that came up in their meetings this week was that they did vote, the NCAA Division I Council voted to put name, image, and likeness legislation forward to a vote of their membership. So now all the schools that make up the NCAA membership will get the opportunity to vote on that. Basically, college players, I don't know that it's going to be across the roster, but the better rosters in some of the major sports are going to have an opportunity to earn money. We've told you about how Indiana really was one of the first few schools to jump on this and announce a plan, a agreement with a company called Open Doors to help manage the NIL program for IU student athletes. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this works. And is it just going to be like at a school like Indiana or Louisville or Kentucky? Is it just going to be basketball, maybe some football players that get the opportunity to reap some financial rewards and some sponsorships and do some advertising? Or will there be opportunities for some of the other sports, a volleyball player or a baseball player? Or will that depend on maybe the success of that specific player or that specific sport at their school, as to if local businesses and other people in the state want to pay them money to be spokespeople and to tweet and to be on TV commercials? But it's really going to be interesting to see how widespread this is. I think we all know in Indiana that if you're a star player for the Hoosiers or the Boilermakers or really any Division I program, a high major team, there's going to be someone, car dealerships, whoever it may be, that would like to have you be the face of their dealership and to promote their product. But will that extend down into maybe women's sports or women's basketball? Will it go to baseball? Will there be IU baseball players that have an opportunity to be, to be on advertising and to make money? It's going to be interesting to see how it all works. big, big things in front of the NCAA right now. Some of it you could not control, you could never predict because of the pandemic, but this name, image, and likeness thing, it's been coming now, and it's going to be really interesting to see how it all plays out. One other thing, too, I thought this was interesting. Andy Katz is hosting a NCAA social series tonight on, I guess it's an online thing you can actually watch, but he tweeted out earlier today that men's and women's coaches, game operations, sports information directors, ADs, check out our NCAA social series tonight at 7 p.m. Katz writes, get ready for new look at games this season. Spaced out benches, masks for bench players, coaches, and regional officials. So officials, the top ones, won't be crisscrossing the country. Regional stat crews or stat crews on opposite sides of the, I assume he means the floors, and more. So that tweet there and the fact that they're having a series with and really for game operations and SIDs and ADs and even coaches, it tells you that the sidelines, much like the bubble in Orlando, are going to look a lot different this year. You can expect, based on this tweet, to see players that aren't in the games wearing masks. You can expect the benches to be spaced out or perhaps even staggered. You can believe that officials are not going to have their traditional schedules. They're going to be more regional, so they're staying within the same school. So you might see some of the same faces. That could be really good or really bad for certain coaches and for fans, depending on who the officials assigned to your region are. And even stat crews and other things that are going to be completely different, the setups for these games, that just tells you the odd time we're in and how difficult it is to figure out even some of the small and minute things that we really don't think about that it's going to be to pull it all together, and that it's going to look different this year. We know that. We are waiting schedules and locations and other announcements about conference play and non-conference play, but just some of those small reminders tell you it's going to be a different winter, especially as we look across the area. And I don't know about you listening, but I really feel like that locally, we know the state of Indiana and the state of Kentucky numbers in this coronavirus deal have not been good recently. They have been surging. Some people say this is the second wave as we head into the fall and perhaps the winter that people feared. But I even feel locally, I know a number of people here in the last week or two that have tested positive for the virus. And so it used to be something where, oh, you knew a couple people maybe in Indianapolis that were positive, or you'd heard of somebody locally, you know, someone in their family tested positive. But to me, it's getting to a situation now where you know people very close and in many cases intimate to you as friends that have tested positive for the coronavirus. So this thing is definitely coming on strong, which is we talk about what college hoops could look like this year, and we've started flirting about high school basketball and getting excited for the upcoming season. It is going to be interesting to see how it all looks. And clearly, if the cases are going up and if this pandemic is going to be around for a while longer, things are going to look completely different than what we ever have known high school sports. So, and again, in the fall, the big deal is football. Volleyball is pretty successful. A lot of interest there. It's indoors. I know that. But football's outside and basketball's inside. And there are such things as season ticket holders. And there are going to be big crowds at a lot of these rivalry games. And I keep mentioning Silver Creek with Trey Kaufman and the success that they are expected to have this year. That's going to be a hot ticket. There would be, I believe, a lot of sold-out games at Silver Creek or at some of their games this year, a lot like what we saw with New Albany and Romeo when they had a great player that was staying at an in-state school. And we'll see what Trey Kaufman does, but it's going to be different in some of the indoor sports, I think, even than what it's been this fall. So interesting to follow. A look at high school football tonight as well. I mentioned our coverage starts at 6 p.m., and obviously our feature games, Providence hosting Linton Stockton and Charlestown hosting Eastern Pekin. Clarksville on the road tonight at North Harrison. We'll keep an eye on that game as well. Clarksville started the game with three consecutive wins, which was huge and really has helped elevate that program. They've made big improvements. They've got some great players. But then four games since then, since the three wins, they're on a four-game losing streak. So we'll see if Clarksville can pull off what would be a tough one tonight at North Harrison. Seymour travels to Floyd Central. The Highlanders look to finish the season really on an easy note. I've said this, I think Floyd Central, probably the local team, if I had to bet, best opportunity to win a sectional and to move on in the state tournament. you got to feel similar about Silver Creek, who likely will finish the season undefeated tonight as they play at Cordon. The only difference in Silver Creek and Floyd Central as far as the postseason goes, and I know we've said this a lot, it's going to continue to come up in our coverage, but Silver Creek obviously playing in an unbelievably tough 4A sectional. I think an argument could be made it's one of the best, if not the best, 4A sectional in the state of Indiana. Jeffersonville, not been a great season. They look to get win number 3 tonight at Bedford North Lawrence. It would be a really big win if Jeff could score one on the road against a Bedford team that has not won at home, and they've only won 2 games as well at this juncture. So it would be a big opportunity if Jeff could win that before they head to a rematch for the 3rd time this season at Floyd Central in the first round of sectional play, which for 5A teams, again, they don't begin next Friday. Their sectional, there would be a week off for them, a bye week, you could say, before that sectional gets underway. New Albany looking to win tonight at Jennings County, who's only won 1 game on the season and no games in the Hoosier Hills Conference. I tell you what, New Albany 5-2 right now. If they can win tonight, it'll be their 3rd straight game, and it would be 6 wins. They would finish the regular season with a 6-2 record. That 9th game, Bloomington North, was canceled due to a positive COVID case at Bloomington North. New Albany started the season hot. We were talking about them a lot. They've had a couple losses in the middle, but if they can win tonight, a 6-win season playing 8 total games, New Albany quietly will have put together a really good season if they can make that happen. And I do look forward to a championship game if New Albany can get there and if Floyd Central can beat Jeff again. I think both would be the favorites in their sectional matchups. I do look forward to a New Albany-Floyd Central sectional championship game. Floyd Central clearly the favorite, but I think that could be an interesting game for the sectional crown this year. Those are a look at our high school football games tonight. Again, our coverage begins at 6 p.m. with the kickoff show. We'll talk with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, get his thoughts on all the local games tonight. And then we'll be joined by a player, Jeremy Gettelfinger of Providence. We've had some fun having players on the kickoff show this year. Zen Mahulski of Floyd Central joined us earlier in the year, as did Dylan Myers of Silver Creek. And so tonight we thought with Providence, a big win last week, and a big game at home tonight to close out the regular season, we talk with another senior in the area that's had a big season, and Jeremy Gettelfinger has definitely had that. That's a look at our headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Our headlines are brought to you each day by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Dylan Wallace. We'll talk some IU hoops, more fallout from Media Day, some of the storylines and takeaways. That's next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. With me is Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. You can read his coverage of IU basketball, football, and more at si.com/college/Indiana. Dylan, it's been a busy news week for IU basketball. Media Day was Tuesday afternoon. And then last night we got a release from IU that said the team had voted on its captains for the 2020-21 season. 4 captains this year: Al Durham, Rob Fennessy, Race Thompson, Joey Brunk. So 2 seniors and 2 juniors. I'm not sure necessarily the role of captains. I think that can vary from school to school. And I think you've got to put some stock into it, as those guys are obviously leaders in their teammates' eyes especially. But your take on 4 captains and those 2 seniors and 2 juniors that will carry that honor this season?
Yeah, I was a little surprised that they named 4. Since I've kind of been around the program, they haven't named more than 2 as a captain, or more than 3 actually. So I was a little shocked that Archie came up with 4 of them. And I think obviously Al Durham was a captain last year with Devontae Green. Ever since Joey Brunk got here, people have just raved about his kind of leadership. So those 2 weren't necessarily surprising to me. I think the two that, you know, you have to be encouraged by are Rob Finnessy and Race Thompson. You know, they're both pretty quiet guys. You know, if you ever talk to them, both pretty quiet, kind of down to business. And both of them on media day had mentioned how they're trying to step up in more of a leadership role. And I think that was rewarding to them. So I think that's promising that those two, the two juniors who are going to be, the, you know, the seniors in a year from now, are starting to get a little more vocal on the court. I think that's very promising. And I'm pretty sure it's voted on by the players. So obviously, you know, when all the players look at four different guys as real leaders on the team that they can kind of go to for things, I think that's really good, especially when those four are your four upperclassmen that you have on the team. So I think it's cool. I think it's good for Indiana. I think I saw a stat on Twitter. I think the last time they had four captains was when Calvert Chaney was on the team. So, you know, if you like things like that, it's obviously a promising sign if any correlation to that, obviously. But yeah, you know, I think it's really good, and I think it speaks a lot to kind of the increase in leadership from Rob Finnessy and Race Thompson and their willingness to be a little more vocal on the floor this season.
Absolutely. Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guest. We've talked a lot about what Coach Miller said and what some of the players said at Media Day. It's kind of dominated the discussion on our Wednesday and Thursday programs. But one topic that really hasn't come up with my guest is the freshman, the incoming freshman at Indiana. We've talked a bit about Christian Lander and what he had to say and what also other players had to say about him at Media Day on Tuesday. But really, across the board, as you listen to the coaches or to Coach Miller speak, as you listen to the players get the opportunity to answer questions as well, how do you see the freshmen so far? We've not played a game. There's not been much come out about some of the early practices. I guess today is day number three of official practices to begin the season. How do you sense these freshmen, Christian Lander, Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway, and, of course, somewhat unknown still, Jordan Geronimo, are fitting in with this team? What could you gather from Tuesday?
Seems like, you know, they're doing really, really well, which I think is a really good sign. Because, you know, when you look at this team, I feel like all 11 scholarship players, like, you look top to bottom, and it's kind of like you can see all of them having somewhat of a role this season, you know, which I think is the first time in a long time every single guy you could be like, okay, I can see if he's in this situation or he can fit here. And, you know, that's a big part of the four freshmen being ready to play. And, you know, as far as what we kind of heard from the from their teammates and coaches, it seems like that's exactly what they've been doing. You know, Armand Franklin gave a really nice sort of like scouting report on each guy. You know, for Jordan Geronimo, he called him a freak athlete. And, you know, he's got a 40-inch vertical, and he can play multiple positions. You know, Archie Miller talked about when he goes really small, you know, he'd play Drum Hunter or Jordan Geronimo at the four, you know, so that kind of shows the versatility he has there. And then he talked about, you know, Anthony Leal, knockdown shooter. We all know that at Bloomington South, you know, that's kind of what he's known for. But he also said he's a pretty good defender. You know, Trey Galloway's an all-around guy. You know, I think everybody sort of knew that coming in. You know, he'll do a lot of the dirty work and really good on defense. And then Christian Lander, just scorer, creator. He's quick, athletic. You know, it just seems like these guys have some traits that are really going to allow them to take the floor this season and have some impact. And, you know, I think Archie's going to have the confidence to kind of play them. And I think it'll be exciting to see sort of what they're able to bring early on. And, you know, we talked about this last week, is just how quick, you know, the team will just get thrown into the fire with starting out so fast with Maui and just sort of a short non-conference slate before you jump into Big Ten play. So, you know, these freshmen are going to have to grow up fast. And I think just based on what we've heard so far, you know, they're sort of acclimating themselves really well, and they've gotten into the weight room and gotten really strong. And I think that's huge. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about just the impact Cliff Marshall has had. And, you know, you see some pictures of some of these guys, some of the freshmen on Twitter now that he sometimes posts. And Jordan Geronimo looks jacked. You know, Christian Lander, you know, he was really skinny coming out of high school, and he obviously reclassified. So, you know, people were concerned about that, but he looks a lot bigger. And Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway as well. So, you know, that's been a big thing for them, as well as their, you know, kind of improvement on the floor too.
Dylan, I got to say, and this has come up before on the show, but we know what we're getting with Christian Lander, the talent that he is. Obviously, people across the country that follow college basketball think he's going to have an impact, even as a young freshman for this Indiana team. But I still remain very, very intrigued by Jordan Geronimo, and that only grew even more after, I think it was Al Durham that talked about how freakishly athletic Geronimo is. But we don't know as much about him. He's not from the Midwest or the state of Indiana like the other incoming freshmen. I'm not sure that his best basketball, I don't think he's come close to playing his best basketball, but a clear athlete, who knows what exactly he'll contribute in his freshman year. But there's just something about him, his body, his game, the fact that he seems to still be putting it all together as a basketball player that's very attractive about him. And I don't know if it's going to be year one as a freshman or year two as a sophomore, but I think we're at some point going to see some pretty good things from him.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, you know, he could definitely be one of those guys that you see sort of maybe in a year or two, all of a sudden he just jumps into this a whole other player, a whole other kind of stature of what he can do. But, you know, I always loved talking to him when he first committed, you know, and I was able to talk to him on the phone, just his attitude and sort of the confidence he has about him. You know, he's not cocky, but he's just like really confident. He enjoys the satisfaction of dunking on people. He always loved talking about that, which I think is just great to have a kid, you know, be confident, be like, yeah, I'll love to come to Indiana and poster somebody, which is just awesome to hear. And also, it was just, you know, kind of his work ethic. You know, he was New Hampshire Gatorade Player of the Year this past season, and, you know, he would talk to me, and I talked to him again over this past summer just about kind of everything, and he was just like, it's weird because I don't think of myself as being that good because I know I have so much more to work on to get better, but I'm still getting these accolades. And he's like, you know, that's just an encouraging sign. And I think he's a good fit for Indiana. You know, he always, you know, we talked about committing here. He talked about how, you know, he stayed in a hotel and he saw all the old kind of pictures in the history of this program. And it's something that he really liked and how passionate the fans are. So, you know, even though he's not from the state, Indiana fans are going to love that he sort of appreciates what makes the program so special. And I think it's going to be really exciting. You know, I think he'll be a really exciting player. I'm excited to see kind of what improvements he's able to make as he kind of gets acclimated to playing college ball. But yeah, I mean, super athletic, 6'8". He's getting a lot stronger, as I just mentioned. And, you know, it's going to be fun to see what he can do on the floor. I don't know exactly kind of what role they'll kind of fit him in this season, but you know, I think George Ronald will be a fun player for Indiana to watch over the next few years for sure.
Talking with Dylan Wallace, he's from Sports Illustrated Indiana. You know, we've talked a lot about Jerome Hunter, and Archie Miller did as well, and I don't think there's any question that based on his high school career and what he was before the injury, the health situation really that sidelined him for his freshman year, it's been a lot of recovery and bouncing back since then, that he's expected to be a breakout player, not just by the IU coaches and even fans, but I think by national media as well. But you've got Race Thompson as well, that he's had some injuries also, and I think there's lots of positive reports on him and what he could bring to the team this year. When you look at this team, who are you most excited about as a preseason breakout player type candidate for this team? Is it Jerome? Is it Race? Is it someone else?
Oh man, I don't know. The easy answer is maybe Jerome, because I don't know. I've been just so high on him ever since he came here. You know, I was waiting for kind of those moments last year to where I would kind of see him kind of break out. You know, Race Thompson obviously at the very end, you know, the last 10 games of last season is when Race Thompson really sort of started to break out. And I think if both of those guys can sustain that level of play they had sort of toward the end of the year throughout the course of a season, it'll be kind of tough to name, you know, which one kind of broke out more than the other. But, you know, to talk about Jerome Hunter a little more specifically, you know, I think we've heard a few different times, you know, he had played in a gym in Ohio over quarantine with some friends, and I was able to catch up with some guys that were there to just ask about how he looked. And a lot of them said he looks like the old Jerome. And we heard that again on Tuesday. He looks like the old Jerome Hunter. And I just think that's a really encouraging sign. And I asked him a question on Tuesday. It was just sort of like, you know, obviously we know what you can do from the three-point line, but what about the other aspects of your game? And he talked about how, you know, last season he was just trying to get comfortable with playing basketball again, essentially. And Archie Miller, and just trying to get a feel for what Archie Miller wanted to do. And now he said that Archie is more confident in him, and he's obviously more confident in himself as well. And now you'll start to see some other parts of his game shine through, you know, the handles, the passing, the defending, posting up smaller guys if they're placed on him. And I think, you know, if he can start going and scoring at all three levels and showing kind of the repertoire that he has, aside from just being a knockdown three-point shooter, I think that'll put him as a pretty big breakout star if that's kind of what he contributes. I'm interested to see, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the starting lineup, to be honest, with You know, I think it'll be probably right off the bat, Joey, Trace, and Rob and Allen. And I don't know who that third spot will be. Is it still going to be a three-guard lineup? Or, you know, I think it'd be smart if Jerome Hunter's that third starter, if he's ready to go and if he's as approved as everybody kind of looking him to be. So, yeah, breakout player. I mean, yeah, I have to say Jerome Hunter just because I'm excited. I think he has a lot more to his game than what we saw last season. He can do a lot more than just shoot threes as well.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. You can read his coverage, si.com/college/Indiana. Lots of great IU basketball and football content there. I want to talk some basketball recruiting with you here briefly. Blake Wesley up in South Bend, he's got 12 schools on his list, and Blake tweeted earlier this week that he's going to come up with a top six that he plans to release on October 30th. We haven't talked about him as much on this show as what we were. Is that because maybe the recruitment between him and Indiana is sliding a little bit? Is Indiana still tracking him as one of their key targets in the 2020 class?
Yeah, it does seem like it is sliding a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana's still in the top six. So I think that they might still make his top six in a few weeks. But, yeah, you know, just from what I've heard, it seems to be sliding a little bit. And, you know, I don't know on whose part it is, but it just seems like there's less interest kind of going about him. And, you know, Indiana obviously has a lot of other guys in that class of 2021 that they're also trying to get as well. So, yeah, Blake Wesley out of South Bend, you know, I like, as I mentioned, you know, it doesn't seem like it's being as – they're tracking him as hard as they used to kind of you know, a few months ago. But yeah, you know, it should be interesting. I think he'll still make the top – I think Indiana will still be in the top six, and kind of who knows what will happen. You know, if games start being played and he starts playing really well, you know, in South Bend, you know, maybe things pick back up again, you know. He'll announce the top six and around Halloween time, and, you know, high school basketball starts a few weeks after that. So, you know, you never know. Things could pick back up again depending on kind of how things go on the court for him. But, yeah, as of right now, not as big of a priority as some of the other 2021 guys.
Also, Draven Gibbs Lawhorn at McCutcheon, he has kind of burst onto the national scene recently. He's a top 12, top 15 player in his class, young player, 2023 class, a guard at McCutcheon, which is the school where Rob Phinisee played his high school basketball at. Indiana has already offered. Other schools are getting very involved with him as well. And I think it's clear when we look to the next batch of great players from the Hoosier State that Gibbs Lawhorn has an opportunity to be one of those names. He's not going to play high school basketball this season, though. We learned earlier this week he had a broken foot and just does not look like he's going to be back in time with the healing process there to play for McCutcheon this season. That's unfortunate for him and also for high school basketball in our state.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I think it's the key thing is that he's a young kid, so he'll have plenty of time to sort of recover and have a good two more years in high school to kind of show what he can do, which I think is always promising. You know, you'd hate if it happened for maybe a junior or a senior, but because he's young, hopefully he'll be able to recover nicely and get on the court. But yeah, he seems like he's a really good player. And, you know, right now Indiana and Purdue both have offered him, and I think it's good Indiana jumped on him early. You know, some of those younger kids, they always kind of remember who some of their first schools were that reached out. But I think he's going to start to garner a lot more national attention, you know, once he comes back to playing. And you know, schools like North Carolina, Duke, I'm sure might start to get involved with this kid because from what I've heard, I haven't seen him play, but from what I've heard, you know, he's the real deal. You know, one of the top guards in the country, one of the top players, you know, top 10, I think, in the class of 2023 right now. So, you know, that's always a promising sign. And who knows, you know, maybe Rob Phinisee will have some influence over what he'll want to do since they're from the same high school. You know, hopefully he recovers well, and it'll be exciting to kind of see when he gets back on the court and what he can do and sort of kind of who starts to gain some more interest on him.
Absolutely. Talking to Dylan Wallace. Dylan, I want to close with a football topic. You've had some preview content on the Penn State game. IU opens up Saturday, October 24, so we're getting closer and closer to the start of IU and Big Ten football for this season, which none of us were sure we were going to see, at least in the fall, for a long period of time. But kind of your general thoughts. We've talked some about this game. We'll dig into it even more next week on the show. But this is a tough opener for Indiana. This is a top 10 Penn State team, at least in the AP poll right now.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. I imagine they'll probably stick in the top 10 after this weekend, since they have lasted about 2 or 3 weeks already without playing a game, which is interesting. But I don't assume they'll still be a top 10 team when they come to Bloomington. And, man, I'm super excited. You know, tomorrow marks exactly 1 week until we finally get some Big Ten football and some Indiana football to watch. It should be definitely interesting. You know, something that I had wrote about this week was just sort of, you know, kind of what Fillier and, you know, Indiana star receiver and how he – things, it's a little personal for him because obviously last season he got taken out, what many believe should have been a targeting hit to his helmet. He, you know, he was out for the second half of that game, and he also missed the next week with the concussion. So it just seems like, you know, just from what Indiana has endured this offseason, and we had talked about this a few weeks ago, is just the mindset and that Tom Allen has kind of had for these guys and to keep them focused throughout the offseason. You know, I think they're going to come out ready to play, and I think they have to be because, you know, you can't have much room for error against Penn State. You can't have much buffer room as you to get kind of used to playing it because you're going to jump right into a Big Ten schedule that's going to be pretty brutal. So it'll be a tough test. It'll be a tough game. You know, it'll be here in Memorial Stadium, which will be cool. You know, they won't have to travel at all. They'll be able to stay in their confines in their friendly stadium. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. I think Penn State opened up as the line is about 7-point favorites, which isn't bad. You know, there's some respect on Indiana's name there. I think they're getting one vote in the AP Top 25 poll. So there's definitely some thoughts from some people around the world that, you know, Indiana could definitely have a chance. And I think they can. So, you know, I'm excited to hit game week on Monday as we kind of talk to the coaches and players about Penn State specifically and kind of preparing for them. So it's going to be really exciting, and I'm excited to finally watch the Big Ten football.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, si.com/college/Indiana. The easiest way to find his content on IU basketball, football, even other sports as well. Dylan, as always, thanks for chatting with us on Friday. It's an exciting time. Football a week away from Saturday, as you mentioned. College basketball almost a month away. Just an amazing time to think we're going to have Big Ten football and even basketball coming up here real soon.
Yep, I am so excited, and I cannot wait. You know, when I first kind of started doing this show, we were so uncertain about seeing any of these sports, and now it's all coming to fruition. A lot to talk about, a lot to write about, and it's going to be a really exciting time in these next few months here.
Absolutely. Dylan, thank you. Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, with us here on this Friday program. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with our final segment of the week. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk football and fall sports. The state tournament's either underway or will be underway soon during a pandemic. We'll also talk some basketball as well. Stay with us for that. High school football tonight on the Big X. Our coverage begins at 6 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of the week here on the show. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins. And Kyle, it's just really unthinkable to believe that tonight is the final week of regular season football across the state of Indiana, that next Friday night it'll be postseason football. We'll be playing in a pandemic. But that's where we're at. And a lot of other sports have already begun their state tournaments for fall sports. Some, I think, girls golf has already concluded. If I'm right, I believe I counted or was told that earlier this week there were 11 volleyball teams in the state of Indiana that, because of COVID-19 positive cases or quarantining or situations surrounding the pandemic, were not going to be able to play in the volleyball state tournament, which recently got underway. Is this something that you think we're going to battle in all sports, and do you think that we'll run into problems? And I know we've discussed this has come up before, but do you think as we really are here now and we're ready to start the football tournament a week from tonight, is it going to be a regular occurrence that this team is out or this game is canceled or unfortunately we're in the semi-state and we've lost a team or two? I think we're looking at a reality with what we're seeing happen on the volleyball side now.
Yeah, I agree. I think even today, you know, finding out that Whiteland and Greenwood football can't play because of a positive test and some contact tracing, you know, so now you're talking about, you know, Greenwood's a 4A team, you know, Whiteland's 5A, so they have a week off anyway next week. But, you know, Greenwood's supposed to play next week. So, you know, they're actually it's not on their side, this specific case, but you know, but regardless of that, you're talking about, you know, 7 days from the start of sectional play for 4A on down. So, you know, you're getting into kind of a, you know, a tricky situation. And I would assume early next week we'll probably start finding out, you know, which teams can't play. You know, I think probably because of sectional, it hopefully won't be a last minute type of thing that comes out on Friday. But you know, you also want to allow yourself if there's a possibility time-wise to get your team together and figure out who you're going to be missing and whatnot, you know, that you're going to try to do all those things to allow your kids to be able to play. But you know, it seems to me, you know, and I haven't counted up the numbers yet on kind of what we're looking at for week 9 of the football season, but it does seem like there are a few more you know, cases that have cost games this week than there have been. You know, HSC and Brownsburg is a big one here that's not going to be played this week. And again, those are 6A teams, so they have a week off in between going into the tournament the following week. But you know, it is kind of, we're kind of down to crunch time here. So you know, I actually even wrote earlier this week in a column, you know, it's just imperative that, you know, if you want your teams to be able to play, you know, to try to do the right things, you know, even more so than now, to try to finish this season off. And you mentioned volleyball. You know, that 11 seems like a lot to me. That's not, you know, I know it's a pretty small percentage of the total teams, but you know, that's a lot. I mean, how would you like to be one of those 11 teams? I mean, that's you know, that's really unfortunate. And you know, I think probably similar to, I would say probably similar number maybe to what we'll see in football. I don't know for sure, but you know, there are more numbers in football, you know, which is a good thing. I think if you're missing some kids, maybe you can still play. And, you know, if you can win, you can get them back the next week, potentially. So, you know, that is the one positive thing about football is you have, you know, maybe if you have a number of kids out, you can still play. Whereas volleyball or a sport like, you know, what we'll have in basketball, to me is a little more concerning just because you don't have the overall numbers and you can't just plug kids into varsity, you know, bringing up from JV, and you just don't have the overall depth of a sport like football. So, you know, that's kind of the one positive football does have going for it. You know, looking at the contact tracing specifically.
And I tell you, these tournaments, a lot of the fall sports, of course, football next week, volleyball underway now, soccer's moving on to, I think, to the regional rounds this weekend. But it all is happening in a time where we are seeing numbers, big numbers in our state, mm-hmm. each day reported by the state health department.
Yeah, I think, you know, texting with somebody this morning, you know, no coincidence, I think, probably to what's happening in our world and in our state. So, you know, I was listening to the you know, Marion County Health Department yesterday, and the mayor, you know, talking about Marion County, and you know, they're concerned there for sure. But actually, the Marion County numbers haven't been, at least from a school the school kids perspective, have not, you know, gone spiked considerably like maybe some other parts of the state have. So they're, you know, it was kind of a mixed feeling, I would say, as far as how they're feeling about where we're headed and what's been happening here recently. But, you know, also was at a Marion County basketball open gym last night at Christmas Attucks, and, you know, just talking to their coach, and, you know, their kids have been out of school. They're actually just going to start going back. They've been all virtual, you know, up to now. And some of the kids actually will stay virtual, but they're going to bring kids back into the school. So that's a dynamic they haven't had to deal with up to this point. So, you know, a lot of things changing. How does that, you know, and how does that impact them as far as, you know, I would think from a practice perspective, it's better, you know, to have kids in school and you can kind of stay on, you know, stay in contact with them. And, it helps, I think, academically. But at the same time, you know, that brings you into, you know, contact with more people and all those sorts of things. So it's just different everywhere in the state, and different school districts are handling it differently, clearly. But, you know, it does raise some concerns, you know, when you start thinking about basketball, like, you know, we're all starting to do right now. And you know, I think girls basketball just, you know, basically is getting started here in the next week or so. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting. I still don't think you can't think about worst case scenario. I don't think that's going to happen, but especially now when we're talking about football sectionals, you know, it's in volleyball, like you mentioned, you know, if you're positive, you could not be able to finish your season, which is that is worst case for a lot of these seniors.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, I want to close with this big football game tonight to close out the regular season. And really, it's fun for the fans, but it's not a meaningful game as far as a conference or any real bragging rights, rivalry, or sectional, which will be the case next week. But we're going to see number one in 6A, that's Center Grove, who's had a fantastic season, take on number one in 5A, that's Cathedral from Indianapolis. And that's kind of the big, not just a big statewide game, but I think it's got the attention of Midwest as well.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this game for a while, and I think a lot of people have, just to kind of see where these teams stack up. You know, can Cathedral knock them off? And I had a chance to cover Center Grove last week, and Lawrence North had them down 13-0 at halftime, and you know, I felt like if they could have maybe got one more score, and they had a chance before halftime, and kind of shot themselves in the foot, but maybe they would have been able to pull off that upset. But both these teams are you know, just exceptional. You know, like you mentioned, they're nationally ranked. I think, you know, various places in whatever ranking system you're looking at. But both top 25 in USA Today, both top 10 on another publication site. So just should be a lot of fun. I think rightly so. I think Center Grove is maybe a slight, you know, if you looked at it, probably a slight favorite to win this game. And it doesn't mean anything, like you mentioned, for the tournament, but you know, it should be the game of the year. I mean, it's just two teams that have been so dominant this year, and you know, I think the winner, you know, will have a chance to maybe go down as one of the all-time best, and that's kind of what's riding on this game. I would say is more of, you know, from a historical aspect of, you know, going down as potentially one of the better teams in recent memory at the very least, just based on what they've done so far. Center Grove's complete dominance in the MIC, and then, you know, Cathedral's beaten, you know, several Cincinnati area teams this year, which is pretty rare for an Indiana school. So just lots of talent on both sides, and you know, can't wait to see how it turns out. It's been a good rivalry over the years, the last game of the season for about the last 6-7 years, and this will be even better.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thanks for the chat. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up to you next week.
All right, thanks. Have a good weekend, Matt.
Absolutely. Our high school football coverage begins tonight on the Big X at 6 o'clock. And, of course, we'll return Monday at 11 a.m. with the Hoosier Report. Have a great weekend. Until next week, this is Matt Dennison on the Hoosier Report. Catch you then.